Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table,
a new United Methodist community of faith located in Sacramento, California.
We hope our podcast will help those who listen to grow in faith.
The podcasts currently feature the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Duhirsu,
with a musical introduction by Anthony Coleman, our director of music.
We hope you find them inspiring.
If not now, tell me when. If not now, tell me when. We may never see this moment or place and time again. If not now, tell me when.
Amen. We have a special time for children, and it's beautiful to watch here at the table at Central as we continue to grow. I had a person last week who wanted to stand and tell everyone that 20 children are going off to godly play. We get excited about these things around here because it's beautiful for us to know that our children are coming into a loving place where they're watched over in love, and then they get to go and experience the stories together in a small space that's set up just for them to wonder and to ask questions, to respond, and to listen for how the mystery of God is coming alive in their lives. And so we're going to invite Eric in the back, and I think Wes and Adam and Rachel, who's getting up here, will take any young people, really elementary school and below, who would like to go off that direction, could go with these folks. And if it's your first time, there will be other people in there who will also be their first time, and they can all together, you'll find your way. Lacey can help you find your way. Thank you, Lacey. And if you're a really young person, like 3, is that how old we are? 3? Then you can go to the nursery with Peggy, and Rosemary might go with you because we end up with so many in there. We'll see how we do. And kids are welcome to stay in here as well. Thanks for checking, Rosemary. One of the things that happens as a pastor, especially as I connect with folks who've been away from the church for a while, they'll often ask, I want to read the Bible. I don't really know where to start, or what do you recommend? And I'm not certain about that answer to that question. There's not one place to start. And if you're a person in that place, you could ask Linda or myself or ask folks around you what they would suggest after worship, and we could talk more. But I want to say this is not where I would begin the story that we're going to read this morning. This is not the place that you want to start. So that said, I'm going to share our story this morning.
Just paving that way.
Yeah. So this comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 22, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they made light of it, and they went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. And then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet. Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guest, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
Some of you know my dad was a preacher. I never could understand quite why I would look up there and church was already happening and he was still scribbling on his paper, which I just did when Matt did that. So I just changed my whole opener. "Sir, I'm not bitter. It is a hard passage, but I'm strong and I'm capable and I think we can do this." But to help us, I want to give us a little bit of background, because on first reading, this is one of those stories in the Bible where people say, see, the church is so judgmental, see. First of all, I want to say we've been looking at parables, and this is called a parable, but it's not really a parable. A parable has a twist to it, really. I would say that this is a story, an allegory. The things in this story refer to something else, but since this is 2011, there's pretty much not too many in this room know exactly what was happening back there in the day, so I want to help us a little bit. Because this story really is an umbrella history of the way that the Jewish folks of the day were seeking God, seeking their salvation. And their spiritual home was what we would call a synagogue. And everything was focused around that place. And they would have been really familiar at that time with the earliest prophets who had met this man Jesus or heard about him and had been out talking about him. Through the current time of the writer of the Gospel of Matthew, when those folks came out there, it was a bit dicey for them. They weren't always received well. If you go forward a little longer, there was this guy named Paul who we've talked about in here. He would have been one of the earliest preachers of the day. We actually have covered up our sculpture of him on the wall, but that's a sculpture of a person being slain in the spirit, as they say, apprehended by God, and he falls off his horse. So he was so apprehended by God, he preached about it. And that was also going on in this time when Matthew's gospel was being shared with the people. Also at that time, I want you to try and think about two groups of people. There were the people who had been Jewish forever and a day, and there were those people in that group who were hearing about Jesus and liking what they heard. Then there were people who were hearing about Jesus but had not been raised in the Jewish faith. So you can imagine there was a little bit of tension. And people started saying, well, this is good behavior and this is not so good behavior, maybe even bad behavior. And Matthew's community was one that was trying to adapt to all of that change. All of that history and all of those wonderings. Rules, not rules, new people. You might say that the Gospel of Matthew sees itself as trying to be a version about the whole people of God in its day. So it's including those that were historically Jewish and those that were brand new Christians. And with that kind of in your mind, I want to give you even more background so you get a bit of a sense. I think it's possible that Matthew told this story in this way and that Jesus was recorded as saying some things like this because they were a little disappointed. They were a little disappointed in what they were seeing in the response of the people, whether they were historic or new. They had some sense of disappointment about the way people responded to the invitation to celebrate life and to live life with these teachings of Jesus. And so that's the parts in the story where those prophets, those earliest preachers, were invited in to the story of Jesus, but some of them had been killed when they shared it. Then, if you really want, I'm not great, I don't have this overall caring about what date things were, but before the Christian era, this is 70. This is really a long time ago, 70. That synagogue, that place, that locus for all of life was destroyed again. It was obliterated. So if you're in a community and you've been raised this way and you're learning new things this way and the place that you work on all that is gone all of a sudden, then what are you going to do? How are you going to behave? So the temple that those people loved and cherished, gone from their sight, gone from their life, had to make some decisions. And Matthew's gospel is recording how they lived that life together. And this story is telling us some of that. The hardest thing I think to say about this is this. Much of the preaching at the time really centered, and Matt has talked about this over the last few months. If you want to go back in the podcast, you can hear that, about whether the church was going to be open to non-Jewish people, known as Gentiles. Really hard stuff. So this struggle was threefold now. You were a traditionally Jewish person who studied the Torah and didn't buy into Jesus. You were a traditionally Jewish person who studied the Torah and bought into Jesus. That's current language. Or you were none of these things, and this Jesus guy really spoke to you. So these two, the people who were traditionally taught, not so happy with these. And if you remember, the biggest difference was circumcision. So you can imagine, if circumcision were it, and that was the dividing line, that was difficult for some. So those are all the people, and those are who we're talking about in these stories. So this is who you're hearing. The Gentiles who came, the uncircumcised, the newest of the new, came and said, I just want to be here. I don't care how I live. I don't care how I dress. I don't care how I behave, i.e., if I eat meat, if I don't eat meat, if I practice purity codes, if I don't. This man Jesus said, God is for me, and that's what I want to know about. And that ruffled so many feathers. So the Jews were feeling this tension, and they were feeling their own, like, oh, but the law, I love it. I love all these new people coming in. And there was conflict. And so this story tells us an allegory about that conflict. And that's what you heard Matt read. If you think about the person, the man, throwing a banquet, which was a custom of the time, and saying, everybody come, because you know you should come to the big synagogue, the big place. And they say, I'm too busy to come. I don't want to come. I've done all these things. I've practiced the law, but I don't want to come to your party. Okay, I'm going to be patient with you. I'm going to say, oh, you don't have to come this time. And I'm going to send my people out to find anybody else who wants to come. People who know the rules but they're not so bound up in them that they can't come. Second wave, right? That's that second group of Jewish people. They go out there, they're too busy to come. King says, all right, I'm still going to be patient. First group doesn't really want to come. Second group has all kinds of excuses. Third group, brand new people. Anybody and everybody. I'm going to let them come. They say yes. They show up. They're not dressed right. Dang. They're not dressed right. That's all right. We can handle this. I'm going to have wedding garments at the door. So they kind of learn to get with the program. And so people just throw those garments on over their clothes and they come in and they're seated for the banquet. And the king is, in my imagination, shaking hands, welcoming people. And then there is this person. Doesn't have a garment on. King says, that's it. I was patient with the first group. I went out for the second group. I was patient with the second group. I said, everybody come in. Everybody came in. They got with the program. And now this guy doesn't even dress properly. I'm going to give him a chance. Why aren't you dressed properly? He doesn't even know. Oh, no. Boy, have I heard that. Oh, no. So the king, what's wrong with that? Out. And I wrote in here, no soup for you. Right? He becomes the soup Nazi. That's a Seinfeld reference if you don't know. Here's another one. No shirt, no shoes, no service. I mean, it's the least you can do, wear a shirt into a restaurant. Now they even have to say no cleats. It doesn't, now, do you see what I mean? That's not such a hard story. That makes complete sense to me. But still, maybe it's uncomfortable to hear. Maybe it's uncomfortable because maybe the king should have got, oh, no problem. You don't really want to wear a wedding garment? You don't have to. Is that really what we want? See, there's the dividing line. Is it really okay? Everything okay? No rules, no nothing. That shows boundaries. Let's think about that for just a moment. Because this really is a story about us, all of us maybe, on some level. Does it really matter what you wear to church? I've got cowboy boots on. You have just flats, trainers. Does it matter what you wear to church? I don't think so. I really don't think so. But does it matter when you come in the door if what you're wearing is stanky and threadbare and ripped to shreds? That might matter, especially if you could have made another choice. If that's the only choice you have, maybe. But I'm thinking we have other choices. Does it matter how you come into the door? What you wear and sit down, and then how you behave? I mean, is it all right to just come in here and behave rude and nasty and say, move that over? I want to sit on the end. Would that be all right? I don't know. I think people would deal with it, some of you better than others. Some would say, Matt, that guy, you better check on him. Alan Jackson, sequin jacket and torn jeans. Where'd you see that picture? Yeah, on TV. His pants look terrible. I know, torn jeans are hard to stay as a style. I know. Jennifer Aniston wears them too, and we know she's a kabillionaire, so what's up? It's a good question. What's up? How do we enter? And that's really what we're trying to get at today. Some people come into church and think, you know what? This is a great place for me. I want to come there because I've heard about this guy named Jesus. I want to learn a little more about him. And I think that's the place I should go. It's got a cross, should be saved. Some people come into church and think, I am so curious. I've driven by that place. I've seen some kind of okay people walking in and out. They walk in. I wonder if they'll let me in because I look like this. And over time, they sit down and no one does yell at them in the pew or ask them to leave or give them the look. And so then they start to think, well, maybe I want to know about who, what was his name again? Jesus. That's another kind of person in this room. Some people come to church and don't think at all. They just come because somebody invites them and says, y'all, you should come here. And they come in this room, and this happens a lot, and they start crying, and they cannot figure out why. And they just keep coming, and then they feel better. And they still don't know exactly why, and then after some time they think, maybe they're going to ask about, what was his name? That guy. Jesus. So you see, we here in this room have people come in, sit next to us, and then some of us have entered this room hundreds and hundreds of times. We know where to sit. We know that in the winter the heater might break, and so we got extra gloves. We've got wraps just in case. That's how many times we've come into this room. We are that community that Matthew was talking about. We are those people who have studied the Torah and know the laws and know the rules, but had never heard of Jesus, just really knew their thing. We are the people who had studied the law and heard about Jesus and got curious and wanted to learn more. And we are the people who heard stories about Jesus, and we have never heard of, what is that, the Ten Commandments? I don't know what that is. That is the church of today. That was the church that Matthew was talking about. We are the old and the new. We are the forevers and the newly converted. It's a blessing, I say, that we're not suffering all those conflicts in Matthew's time, because there were some deep rifts there. That was, you heard him say, they killed some people. But we do still need to do some work. And that's why we've been invited to go deeper these weeks. And so I'm going to invite you to do that again. And our question for today, which is on your worship folder, so you don't need to have prompts written down, it's on the back. As a person who longs to reach in love, I want to do blank so that blank will happen. So when you think of those three different groups, and you may identify with one of them, I hope, how are you going to reach across those lines, valleys, edges, chasms? How are you going to do that? Because we're all in this room. As a person who longs to reach in love, I want to blank so that what will happen? I want to feel less judgmental so that my anxiety will lessen and I'll sit in this room and be able to concentrate. I mean, it's just that simple sometimes when people are misdressed. So hold that question. And here's what we're going to do. Matt's going to help me now. You ready? We're going to go back through this story. And I'd like you to just kind of get comfortable where you are. Matt will say some of the story, and I'm going to pose some questions. So think about that background. Think about that early community. Think about this community. And from there, we'll move right into our time of sharing and meditation and communion. So we'll just keep moving.
The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come.
Maybe life is not really a test. Maybe life is a party. Maybe Judgment Day is not a trial, but a wedding. It's possible that what it's all about is not success, but love and faithfulness. So what if God's word is not a command, but an invitation?
Then the king said to his slaves, "Go into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet." Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests.
It's possible that what God wants most of each of us is not to be good, but to be present, fully present. Imagine that everyone else besides yourself is also invited. And being present for God means being present for all those who are invited. Consider that when we judge others not worthy to sit with, it is we ourselves whom we exclude from God's word of grace. We are the ones who will not come.
When the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to the attendants, "Throw him into the outer darkness, or there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen."
What if the key to salvation is not purity, but wonder? Maybe joy comes from sharing our witness at what God is doing in our lives, in our neighbors' lives, and in the world. Ponder this. Since the invitation may come at any moment, we should be dressed for the party at all times. Our hearts should be clothed with joy. prepared to celebrate. Ready to rejoice in the gift of faithful love, not on some distant day when we get around to it, but right now. So if not now, when?
We'll work until it's done. Every daughter, every son, every soul that ever longed for something better, something brighter. It will take a change of heart for this to mend. It will take a change of heart for this to mend. But miracles do happen, every shining now and then. If not now, if not now, tell me when.